Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how are you doing today?
I am doing well, man. I've had a fun week, and I think I will make this the last time that I mention my birthday month. Would that make you?
I don't know. There's still a few more days left in the month, so why stop now?
But I got to tell you, I had a great time this morning. I made my own breakfast. I made 2 double espressos, and so I feel like I have the energy to get through all of our broadcast today.
I think that should get you to your target heart rate. I think we should be good.
Well, this is going to be a fantastic segment. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Dave McMullen with Red Pepper. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from KCA Services, Miss Crystalyn Mumaw and Bill Florence. Welcome to the show, gang.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Let's start with you, Crystalyn. Can you give us just a little bit of an overview, thumbnail sketch, mission, purpose? What's KCA out there trying to do for folks?
Well, we are a strategic marketing and branding firm. We work primarily with small to mid-sized businesses to help them put together a strategic approach to their brand in the marketplace. We do not just do web design. We do not just do social media. We're not a linear agency. We actually have the ability to do the full-scale plug-and-play marketing department services for our clients.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you came here from California, spent some time there.
Yes.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. I was blessed to be in California during the great tech days and had a wonderful opportunity to work for a consulting firm, a very unique boutique consulting firm that primarily focused on putting together strategy for startup tech companies and going out and assisting with obtaining venture capital fund placement. During my time there, I raised and placed over $300 million worth of capital and was also for 3 years a guest speaker at UC Berkeley on a reoccurring basis, talking about marketing and emerging technologies.
So what brought you to Atlanta?
Work. Work and family. I'm originally from Alabama.
Oh.
So I specifically took a job here to come closer to family.
So, Bill, what's your backstory and what are you doing for these folks?
My backstory is rather interesting, is that I was formerly the director of public affairs for Intercontinental Hotels Group for their North American, or really their Americas region, which is headquartered here in the Dunwoody-Sandy Springs area. I'm responsible there for all of their governmental relations, community relations, and diversity practices. Prior to that, I've really spent approximately 12-plus years in the public affairs, public relations arena. But prior to that, I also spent a number of years working in politics, and before that, I was a lawyer. I was actively practiced law for almost 9 years, serving various roles here in the Atlanta area, which is very interesting, but I do not miss those days at all.
He's a reformed lawyer.
Reformed.
A recovering lawyer.
No, not recovering. I'm completely recovered for that. But I just want to add something about, you know, about what we do is that one of the things that we like to say, it's a real quick sort of summation, is just saying, like, you know, we help you grow. We help businesses grow. And because we're able to bring in extensive experience that, frankly, that you would not be able to afford if you were bringing us on full-time as a full-time employees. But we have bring a tremendous amount of value from, you know, being consultants that can come in and help you set up your marketing and branding and communications and help you to get that started and to be able to move forward.
So when a company is outsourcing their marketing to you guys, what does that relationship look like? Are they just delegating and it becomes your problem, or how do you integrate yourself into the company's DNA?
That's interesting. Well, I would not say that it's always a pleasure to plug and play in with the companies. And what we really work at initially is strategically helping them find the focus of what their marketing expenditures need to look like over the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
They obtain us and work with us on a retainer basis. And we work to, number one, build a strategy. And then number two, execute it. And in the execution, we sometimes utilize our creative public relations or social media resources, or we additionally might help train, put together a strategy and train their internal staff. It really is customized to the client's budget.
So how do you wade through, and more importantly, how do you help your clients wade through all these social media platforms and figure out where to put their energy? Because I got to tell you, as a layperson, I mean, I'm dizzy. I understand how and why we ought to be applying some of it, but I don't even know where to start.
Right. He's like Instagramming and Pinteresting. I mean, he just spends his whole day just gets
well, my
on
kids
Pinterest.
Are. My kids are on all that stuff. And I, you know, some of it looks cool. And then you get, you know, you talk to three different people, you get three different pieces of advice. So speak to that a little bit, if you will.
Social media, for the most part, you know, is a it's an emerging, you know, marketing platform in many ways. It wasn't around 10 years ago as a utilization for strategic marketing and branding. Some people get overexcited when new things hit the market and think that, you know, everybody needs to be on everything. That's not true. What we really try to do with our clients is help them focus on where their customers and their prospects are spending their time. That's the very first question that we
Not what their kids are using.
Not what their kids are using, and not what Lee's looking at or Stone's looking at. You know, it's definitely a strategic approach to make sure that the dollars are and time and resources are accurately spent and measurable. I think the most important thing for people to realize is every marketing initiative, you know, that is strategic has to be able to show some type of return on investment at some point. And it can't just be invested in because everybody else is doing it. So people do get a little excited about social media. We definitely have to temper our clients and explain to them every place is not where they need to be. It needs to be a staged process. You know, Pinterest is definitely not an advertising resource for a lot of people, but for certain people who are utilizing it to help brand their product or their company, it can be very powerful. Just because it works for them does not necessarily mean it's going to work for the company down the hall from them either. So
now,
I'm sorry if I can interrupt. So I think one thing about social media that, you know, for a lot of people who are confused is like they want to be able to use social media as a platform for talking, you know, and just sort of disseminating information. But that's not what really successful social media is all about. I mean, social media really is about establishing a dialogue or communication, collaborating with your customers. And that's where the more successful people are in this arena is doing something, creating something where you're actually creating a dialogue and collaborating with your ultimate customers.
Now, it seems that over the years, like you went back talking in the 2000, but I go back even farther than that. And there was an area for advertising, there was an area for PR, and now it seems like there's more of a blend approach. Now, I believe you guys offer some PR services as well. How do you kind of differentiate that in for your client so they understand that advertising is something you buy, PR is something that's earned? How do you kind of get that point across to them?
That's a really good question. A good question right after talking about social media, because there is no such thing as PR without social media being blended into it, because it is what your public brand is, your public communications, to, number one, your customers, number two, your potential customers, but also, you know, your investors. There's a lot of different components of that. Advertising and PR definitely do blend nowadays because of the fact of social media and who you're in front of on a global basis.
There was a time when a PR firm, their job was send out press releases, you know, have some relationships with some media so that if you have a story idea, you can kind of give them the heads up that this is coming down the pike. And there's some crisis management, I'm sure you know, at IHG. There's some issues that when something bad happens, you've got to get out in front of it. And now it seems that PR or the function of PR has kind of taken the driver's seat over advertising because of the social media aspect that is more interactive, that is a back and forth with the customer, we're advertising TensorBA. Here's my message. You know, love me.
I think it's all part of a just. It's, you have to look at the bigger picture. I mean, and it's you know, it used to be, I think, where, you know, advertising was in this silo. You know, public relations was in this silo,
right.
And that's not the case anymore. I mean, it's all part of, you know, sort of, you know, one cohesive strategy, and that's why, you know, there are a lot of companies that are shifting. You know, where they used to have just sort of like a, you know, a VP of communications, or, you know, vice president of marketing. Those roles are shifting now. So I mean, that's all being absorbed under one title and putting that all together, because you've got to be able to strategically look at how you can merge all that so they can play off each other, because they all each have a role. I mean, you can't, you know, for brands, I mean, you need to have, you know, do some advertising. You need to do some public relations. You need to do obviously the social media part of it, but it's all part of this cohesive strategic, you know, plan that you need to be thinking of to try to maximize your resources.
And public relations, you know, nowadays, I really like what you said about the fact that public relations was, you know, traditionally for many years just the press release, the calling of the media, you know, and the components of managing whatever situation it was that you were trying to manage, you mm-hmm. know, new products, new people, or crisis communications. PR now really is not just that, but it's also managing the relations that your customer base, you know, communicates about you. You know, looking at what is being posted on blogs, looking at what your customers are putting on social media platforms. It's not just about what you generate. It's also very carefully monitoring, you know, what your customer base is generating, because they drive your brand just as much as you do mm-hmm. in today's platform. They have almost the same platform in certain arenas as the company does. You know, some
right.
people have blogs with just as many followers as your corporate, you know, blog
sure.
might have. So there's public relations is a significantly shifted field.
So what about collaborating with other organizations with and through strategic alliances, partnering up with organizations that are serving some of the same constituencies? Because I think there should be some real economies of scale and leverage in that. And we've even taken a few stabs at that here at Business Radio X. Is that something you've had much experience with? And are you a fan of it for some folks, or is it too complex and too dangerous to get involved with?
I guess I'm not really sure what you're asking.
Well, like for us, we want to serve some of the same people that the Atlanta Business Chronicle wants to serve.
Oh.
We want to reach some of the same people that the Chambers of Commerce want to serve. You know, do you do much with regard to partner marketing or whatever you call that?
We do. I mean, partner marketing, number one, is key. Community marketing is, you know, definitely something that we focus on and put strategic plans together for our clients. We do work with local municipalities, and we do work as an advisor with the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce. And we feel that congruently, you know, in serving the same people, it means you have a stronger track record
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you can demonstrate that you have success in engaging the community and assisting your clientele with their growth. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, every business is going to evaluate on their own needs of what is best going to serve their business as far as who they choose to do business with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had a lot of experience in that regard, particularly if you look at it from the standpoint of partnering in the area of corporate social responsibility. In trying to look and say, well, what is a good fit for our company? What supports our brand? What is something that, you know, our customers will be passionate about that will help, you know, make us look good in a sense? I mean, that's really sort mm-hmm. of the bottom line. But I mean, and so you have to look very carefully at that, and you have to, but you can do the same thing. I mean, if you were looking at trying to try to find some other partners, but I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, you know, I'm not sure. We would have to see whether or not, you know, the Atlanta Business Chronicle would want to partner with, you know, Business Radio X. They might, you know, see if that's a good fit for both partners, but there might be other opportunities for Business Radio X. I mean, to look at some other people, whether that's in the community arena or whether that's just, you know, whether that's, those are some other companies, again, that could help where you could, you know, could share and collaborate together.
But like at IHG, you've worked with some big organizations, you've worked with politicians. Did you find that there were opportunities to partner with other people? And if so, what were some of the challenges? Because I can see, even if the Business Chronicle said yes today, 2 weeks from now, we could really have some conflicts of interest. I just wondered if there are some organizations that really lend themselves to that and some that don't.
Well, you definitely have to be careful about, I mean, making sure that there are no conflicts. I mean, and so that's part of the vetting process of trying to establish who a partner is. So, again, I'm going to go back to the corporate social responsibility because mm-hmm. I did a lot of that at Intercontinental Hotels Group. And one of the things that we did there, I mean, it was for the first time, I mean, launched a global strategic corporate social responsibility plan in order to find really a couple of key partners around the globe for IHG and its hotels to support. And those hotel brands, of course, were like the Intercontinental, Crowne Plaza, Holiday Inn, Holiday Inn Express, Staybridge Suites, Hotel Indigo, and a couple of others. But it was looking to see what was a good fit. So in that arena, we went and did exhaustive research looking for who would be a global humanitarian organization that supports our platform. And so there were a lot of great candidates for that. And, at the end of the day, so we, reviewed them, met with those people, had discussions with them, did some testing, talked with our owners to see who would be a good fit. And at the end of the day, in IHG's case, came up with developing a global partnership with CARE, which is, an Atlanta-based humanitarian mm-hmm. organization. Here, so it's a detailed process. Again, depending on how sort of global or how maybe and not quite so much if you get narrow it back down to a local level, but you still have to go through a vetting process again just to make sure that their messaging is potential partner's messaging is aligned with your messaging, and you're supporting each other in a very positive way to reaching the same folks.
I think the most important thing in partnering as well, just to kind of go back to the Business Radio X example, is that, everybody has to have an outline about what they are bringing to the relationship. I, for years and years and years, always helped companies who were seeking Microsoft partnership certification. That was an area of expertise I had.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously they're a very large behemoth company.
Sure.
They, my clients were looking to fit into the rules and to follow. So they already had a program, programs
right.
in place. When there's not a program in place, the key thing is to invest in building the program and putting the proposal together,
right.
Of what the symbiotic relationship would be, what the benefits are, and then also what the exclusions are.
Now, and that's probably something you spend some time with your clients with, right, to get them ready to have that conversation with the larger company if they're going to partner
Months.
To make it symbiotic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also to identify which is the appropriate ones.
Mm-hmm.
So can you walk us through maybe do you have a success story or a story you can share? You don't have to name the name if it's not appropriate, but where you've kind of met with them, assessed their needs, and then walked them through some sort of relationship like this?
Oh, sure. Well, I think that one of the best success stories that I would say is taking a company that was a startup tech company of about 12 people
mm-hmm.
in the Bay Area, and within probably about 12 weeks, what we did is this is very common in the tech field, as we'll hear about later, is you have people who have great technology and great design, but not necessarily the skills to sell it.
Right.
Nor the bandwidth, to do that either, as they're busy designing and going through revisions and so forth. So I came in with this particular organization, built out a 2-year sales strategy, marketing mm-hmm. strategy, identified the key partners they needed for continued development, distribution, and service, because they were not at a size where they could actually service once the product
right.
was out. Put together a marketing strategy specific to the partners that discuss, advertising, logo placement. Partnership is about brand, as well as distribution in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
So we put together all of this. We actually obtained over $38 million worth of funding within 12 weeks after building this strategy in a Series A funding round. And I loved the story of what happened because of the fact that these were some brilliant men who had brilliant careers and came from big names like Microsoft, came from like a Linux, Red Hat Linux background. We had some people who had been some of the original founders over at Apple who were part of this executive team who put this together.
Mm-hmm.
And even with all that experience, there was absolutely no way they would have been able to raise that money without having the strategy in place.
Right.
You know, your product can be as flashy and fun as it is, but if you can't get it to the customer and if you can't build the right type of branding alliance to solidify your brand in front of the customer's eyes, your product's going to stay on the shelf or your service.
So how about your own sales and marketing? How much of this of your own cooking do you eat or sometimes? let's face it. You're not the only people in town that profess to help someone reach their financial objectives. So I got to believe it's got to be a little bit hard just to knock on the door and say, hey, let us help you with some marketing ideas. So how do you guys go to market? What does that look like? I mean, are you out there making phone calls, or you're sending emails, or you're doing social media?
Maybe they just do good work.
People well, that's a good sales tool, right, Bill?
Thus far, it's primarily referral.
Right.
You know, thus far, it's been primarily referral. But however, that being said, you know, we do also do things where we contribute and we're in front of people so the referrals can happen.
Right.
We participate in speaking opportunities. Work. And in addition to that, we actually contribute 10 hours worth of volunteer work towards a nonprofit with a good cause every single month.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself, you know, I number one, like to be supportive. You know, our firm likes to support things that are growing and causes. But number two, also people see that, you know, from a customer base. And
right.
It does generate referrals to do that as well.
I mean, relationships got to be everything in your business because I'm trusting you with my brand, right? I mean, I'm really there's a lot of trust, I'm sure, in those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's you have to have a good relationship with a client, and I think that's based on trust, and that's based on and the trust is based on the knowledge and expertise that For example, we bring to the table for that. And so, once you go from that, you build a relationship with your client so that there's the trust there. Then you're able to build, relationships with, media if you need to, and then begin obviously broader, building them out with, customers and potential customers.
Now, do you have a sweet spot that you guys specialize in?
We're pretty much launch specialists. If you need to launch a product, uh-huh. You need to launch a new service, a new location.
Right.
So we're the ones to call because we're the ones who will put together the full strategy.
Around the launch.
Around the launch. And sometimes when I say that, a launch a product, for some people it's just getting launched, launching a new website and their social media mix.
Right.
But it's really around launching something that we're the right ones to call. We really are extremely engaged with positive experience marketing. So it's we're a very, very good organization to work with. All of our clients enjoy us, and they really, would never be able to hire the expertise when they're in a launch mode.
Right, right.
That we bring to the table to maintain it in-house on a salaried basis.
Well, you had me at $38 million in 12 weeks. I'll tell you that right now. If I'm listening to this, I'm picking up the phone and calling. You don't have
I'd
to
lead with
to
that.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. You ought to put that on the back of your business card. So what's the best way for our listeners to learn more and have a meaningful conversation about these kinds of topics? Website, phone number, that kind of thing?
Well, you can look for us on the web at www.kcaservices.com. We're also obviously, on everything else, like on Twitter, at KCA Services, and Facebook, we're on as well as KCA Services.
LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn, KCA Services. How many more times can I say KCA Services?
That's been a good job.
Let me spell that out for you, KCA Services.
You can find us at any place.
Well, it's been an absolute delight having you both in the studio, and I hope you'll come back. I think it would be fun if you'd be up for it. to come back with a client maybe and maybe walk through that story and get it from their perspective. I think that could be a fun – what do you think, Lee? Would that make for a good
segment? That way they can – then you can really illustrate how the relationship works.
We would love to do that.
We'd love to do that. That'd be terrific. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank
we'll
you.
Make it happen. How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Sure, absolutely.
Pleasure. It would be a pleasure.
All right, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, Lee, we have with us another villager from over there in David Cummings' camp at Atlanta Technology Village. From Red Pepper, please join me in welcoming to the show Mr. Dave McMullen. How you doing, man?
Very good. Thank you.
So it looked like you were nodding and maybe taking some notes and smiling. Did you learn anything from that last segment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always love the smart marketing people. They're always fun to listen to, and you learn something every time you talk to them.
And by the way, if you didn't pick it up or captured in your notes, it's KCA Services.
Yes, I got it.
But this segment, we want to talk about Red Pepper. Give us a little bit of a background on Red Pepper. What are you guys out there trying to help folks with?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of what you guys talked about is similar, but Red Pepper comes at it from a little bit different perspective in that we were born in 2001, right between the dot-bomb and 9/11.
Nice timing.
Yes, how about that? But what it also was, it was a new time in marketing, right? So it was post spend money on anything you can spend money on. It was post mass media and just blowing money in that regard. And you had to be smarter. You had to be kind of streetwise with your money and your marketing dollars. And that helped us kind of start shaping the company. And then the second thing was, this is maybe more fortuitous or lucky than it is smart, but we had multiple opportunities over the years to focus on a particular vertical. Like we landed a couple of home building clients. Well, thank goodness we didn't focus on home building.
Man, you guys can pick the whatever's hot. You were right on
right,
it, right?
Exactly. And then there was another opportunity for us to focus on banking. Well, thank goodness we didn't do that. But what we did do was we focused on creativity and innovation pretty much from day one. And if you think about what those two things mean to companies and to brands, it's often the thing that they struggle with internally, right? You know, a lot of really smart marketers, CMOs, brand managers, that kind of thing, you know, they've been to marketing school. They've been to, great seminars, and they've learned an awful lot. They network with other smart CMOs and brand managers, but it's difficult to manufacture creativity and innovation in a corporate environment. And so we knew that if we focused on that, if we built a culture around that, and if we hired A players in creativity and in talent and in technology and that kind of thing, we would be in demand all the time.
Now, how do you a lot of companies easily talk about innovation and creativity, but you were mentioning some verticals like finance and home building and things like that. They're not really known for.
Can you spell cognitive dissonance?
You know, they're not, they say, yeah, we're innovative. You know, we love innovation. And then when it's time to actually do something that's risky, which a lot of innovation can be, no one is the one that wants to be, blamed for anything that possibly could go wrong. So how do you find customers that are in those kind of verticals that are open to that kind of risk?
Yeah, well, I think it's difficult, but what we do is we just try to stay true to ourselves, right? So if we get an opportunity, this is what I used to say to the banks that we worked with, and we don't have any banking clients at the moment, but what I used to say was, if you want to be a really banky bank, if you want to look like a bank and act like a bank and
that's easy,
sound
right?
like
you,
a bank,
you can get anybody to do that.
We're
right?
not a good fit for you.
Right.
If you want to look like a different kind of bank, if you want to sound different, act different, stand out from the crowd, then that's the kind of ideas we're going to be bringing to you. So now that's not a good fit for everyone. There are
right.
people that want to look like their industry, right? They look like they belong in the industry and they're just kind of trying to, prove they belong there or maybe, that'll be not a good relationship with us, right? It's just not a good fit because we're going to constantly be bringing ideas that are pushing the envelope, that are really engaging and a little edgy for their customers. And so if you're into that, perfect. If not, you know, maybe red pepper is not the
but
right.
Now, how would, when you were, when the business was kind of young, did you have that discipline back then to say, look, this is the way we are. We're the wild and crazy guys. So if you want us, this is what you're going to get. And then
that's
you
hard
also,
early on, though.
Right. Where you got, there's mouths to feed, money, right? You know, yeah. And the rent's not paying itself.
Well, thanks for calling me on that right away. early on, you know, I'm a big talker now. absolutely. Early on, it was, I can remember taking clients that would, pull their cash out of their wallet to pay me, right? I mean, and, now it's much, it's different. We've got, 40-something employees and a lot of great brands and a lot of exciting work. Early on, you're exactly right. It was much more difficult. In fact, there was tension between our culture and between the clients we had. Mm-hmm. There was a time, matter mm-hmm. of fact, when we let a client go, that was 25% of our revenue.
Mm-hmm.
That was painful and
scary.
That was
a gutsy move is what that was.
So what was that like when you guys, the partners, are talking about this? Because, you're all excited you have this client that's 25%. On one hand, that's awesome news, right? You're like, wow, one client, that's 25% of our revenue. And then you're like, well, it's sucking the soul out of our company. You know, it's not, this isn't what we want to be and this isn't where we want to go. And you guys had to go back and forth. It couldn't have been an easy decision to make.
No, it was difficult. And but one of the things that we said to ourselves, we tell our people, our employees and really everybody we talk to, that the priority in our company is culture, then our people, and then our clients.
Really? So you're that employee driven?
Well, we're that culture driven,
right?
Because the worst thing an employee or a client can do is mess with the culture,
right?
Right. That's what makes us separate. So when you come to those moments of truth, where you literally have a client that is disrupting your culture and just making it not a positive place to be on a daily mm-hmm. basis, you make that call. Same thing with employees, by the way.
Well, then it becomes an easier call if that's your true north, right? Then it becomes easy.
Yeah. Now the 25% of your revenue is tough. That's a tough call, but you make it if you're true to yourself.
Right.
So I want to talk more about this innovation creativity, because the vision I'm painting in my head is we brew up a lot of espresso, pop some popcorn, get the stress balls out. But I sense you guys probably have some structured methodology. You have a way of going about this. Not that I'm asking you to share your secret sauce, but is that accurate? You have a structured
methodology? It was stress balls.
Yeah, stress balls, yeah. I think one of the things we – part of that culture I was talking about, one of the things we ask everyone in the company to do is to develop themselves, with personal growth. In fact, we call it planned growth, right? So the system, if there is one, is that asking every individual to continually develop themselves, push themselves, and keep up with the constantly changing world of marketing and technology and consumer behaviors. And right, it's so fast-moving. That if people don't keep up, if they don't stop moving forward, then they find themselves behind. In fact, one of our core values is if you're not changing, you're dying, right? Because if you're not moving forward, if you're not progressing, if you're not learning and growing, then you're going to get left behind by the world. And so if you can take 40 people and they're all doing that, in fact, we ask them to spend 20% of their time doing that, right? You get a lot of great ideas. You get a lot of people going out there and learning the new thing, whether it's Pinterest or, in fact, for us, it was early on, it was even this Facebook thing. What's that all about, right? But we were one of the first companies to write a great campaign around Facebook's new API, and we did a campaign for Pinterest when it first became popular for a company that was a good fit, by the way. It was a home furnishings company, which is perfect on Pinterest. And we couldn't figure out a way to measure it because they didn't have an open API that would tell us the measurements. And so this is going to get me in trouble for sure. We actually had to hack in and measure the campaign.
When we go back and edit Lee out of all these interviews, we'll cut this out if you want us to.
Right.
We don't want you to have to serve any time.
Yeah. KCA Services.
But that's part of – that's the beauty of being – priding yourself on innovation, right? You have to be doing that. You have to be ahead. You can't be reacting. You have to be finding what the next Pinterest is.
Oh, that's exactly right. The day when Siri came out, right, the iPhone 4GS, 4 days later, my crew had figured out a way to get Siri to pour them a beer. Right? Because so remember when Siri came in, everyone was like, what can you really ask this thing to do, right? Can you kill my neighbor? Oh, sorry, I can't do that, right? But they said, you know, these guys are, you know, 20s and 30s, techies, right? They're into beer, right? So they tried to figure out a way to, how do we get Siri to pour us a beer? Well, they took Siri and asked it to text a Twitter account that was connected to a computer, that was connected to a remote control car that had a beer strapped to the front of it, that drove across the table, smashed into a nail, and poured the beer into a funnel. Now, the truth is that's kind of silly, and you know, when you sober up, you'd say, you know, that was a pretty useless idea. However, what it did do was it taught them how to connect those key technologies. I mean, think about the technologies that are involved there. Think about the reality of what they did was they took the digital world and impacted the real world, right? And they did it in a way that was fun and cool and hip. And, you know, they created a little video out of the thing, and it got, I don't know, 350,000 views on Vimeo, not even YouTube, right? So, and that's the kind of thing we actually will show a prospect or a client that and say, we're never going to ask Siri to pour a beer for you. But we can clearly think openly and creatively about the technologies that are available to us to engage your customers. And, you know, where are they now? What are they engaged with? You know, that's what I loved about these guys before was, you know, where are your customers and how do you engage them, right? And so once you decide to engage them, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? How do you do it? That's what Red Pepper is really good at.
And you guys have a lab, is that right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, this year, this is kind of new to this year, we took, if you have 40 people given 20% of their day to development and growth and, you know, building and planning something new, well, what happens if you took all those people and put it all at the same time, 20% of your day, you know?
That's a day a week.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
Red Pepper Fridays.
That's right. So we, you know, we took everybody that had been giving 2 hours of their, you know, 10 or whatever, you know, some 20% of their day, and we smashed it all into one day on Friday, and we called it Red Pepper Lab. Mm-hmm. And so now we focus on things together. It's not just going on me going off and reading a book or learning to play
music.
Me
making beer.
Me making beer. Right. With, yeah, that's right. The world's first digital, real-world Rube Goldberg machine. But now we can say, okay, well, guys, what if we throw an idea in the middle on Friday afternoons, and then we all attack it together? What can we accomplish with that? And so what began to spin out were various ideas. So ideas that we weren't waiting for a client. You know, that's the thing about being innovative. We can't wait for a client to come to us and say,
do this for us.
Yeah, can you go do a Pinterest campaign for us? Well, you know, we have to go learn it on their dime.
Right.
Right? So that's what we kind of use our 20% for. Go out there and learn the thing. So when the time comes, we're the experts and we can make it happen. So on Fridays now, that's the kind of thing we do. We go out and we learn new technologies and we figure out a way to kind of make them work. And sometimes we spin companies and ideas out of that, right? So we had a bunch of coffee lovers and, you know, we're marketing, branding, social media experts, all these kinds of things. And we also happen to be coffee lovers. In fact, we had a couple coffee experts in our group. Well, why not start a coffee company? So we did. Primary Coffee was born, right? And, you know, that kind of thing continually spins out. In fact, the latest thing that we've gotten a lot of press for is called Face Deals. It came out of that lab environment, right? How do we link these technologies we know how to do and create something really special? And that's where we find ourselves.
So now what are Face Deals?
Face Deals is basically a tech startup, which is why I need to come talk to these guys later. That spun out of the Red Pepper Lab, right? And it took technologies that we already knew how to do, social mobile applications, consumer engagement, and on-premise marketing and that kind of thing, and then threw in this little extra component called facial recognition. And so now you could go into an establishment that has Face Deals, and it knows you're there. It goes and looks at your social media profile and then serves up a customized deal for you right on the spot in 5 seconds. It's pretty cool.
That is very cool. And before you hit the big time here at Atlanta Business Radio, you were featured on some other little media outlet. What was it?
Yeah.
60 Minutes.
Right.
What was that like?
Yeah, well, sometimes innovation can get ahead of you, right? So last fall, my guys came to me with this idea of, you know, linking mobile applications, consumer engagement, and facial recognition. I said, we want to just create a concept video out of it. I was like, all right, no harm in that, right? Create a concept video. Go for it. Well, the video was so good and so realistic that bloggers picked it up, right? TechCrunch, pretty big blog. Others picked it up. Then the LA Times. Then the New York Times. Then CNN. Then Wolf Blitzer covered it on prime time. And we ended up...
And it was like pretend.
It was a concept
video.
Right. That's correct.
It didn't exist.
That's great. Yeah.
Vaporware.
Correct, yeah. The idea existed.
It's available at Primary Coffee. Is this, can you see it in real life there?
No, yeah, right. Yeah. And so, you know, we ended up being on five continents, you know, I mean, unbelievable amount of press. And all of a sudden, clients are calling us and saying, hey, we want it. Can you build that for us? We're like, uh-oh, we better go build the thing. So we had to turn it into a client, I mean, into a actual product. And so we began working on the prototype, and 60 Minutes called and said, hey, we want to try it out with Leslie Stahl. We're going to come out and do a live demo. And we were like, wow, yeah. There's a deadline to build the prototype right there. And so we did. We went to work on the prototype. Leslie Stahl walked up, said, let's go for it. She and I walked into a restaurant. It worked perfectly, thank goodness, because live demos never do.
Right.
And bam, right there, you know, 60 minutes on a tech startup.
Right, that's like an infomercial.
Absolutely.
Now, so what happens? She walked into a restaurant or a store, and then what actually happened?
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you know, her producers came out the day before, spent 2 days with us, set up the whole thing, right? And then I'm waiting on the sidewalk outside of a restaurant. Limo pulls up. Leslie Stahl gets out, shakes my hand, looks around. Okay, what are we doing? All right, blah, blah, blah. Okay, 30 seconds later, we're walking into the restaurant, live cameras. And, you know, we had handed her a phone so she could use – so she didn't have to give us her phone, you know what I mean? But we knew some stuff about her, and we had her picture all over the place. And so she and I walk into this restaurant. I'm explaining it to her. And thank goodness, 5 seconds after we walked into the restaurant, we both get notifications for deals.
So like it's a text. It comes to be a text?
It's a notification on your device, yeah. It's like a text, but yeah.
And then so it buzzes like
it buzzes
free
you
appetizer,
and it's
Leslie.
Exactly right. Yeah, well,
we know you
case,
like crab cakes.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, in her case, we knew she was a Diet Coke fanatic, uh-huh. Right? And so her deal was, welcome, Leslie. Get a free Diet Coke with purchase of a Caesar salad. Mm-hmm. And mine was, hey, 2-for-1 Sweetwater 420s, which is an Atlanta beer I love. And I got a case for it, by the way.
There you go. Nice plug for that.
Yeah. But that's the idea, right? Is to take engagement and marketing and market to people when and how they want it, right? If we had sent Leslie Stahl an email that said, hey, come on in, get a free Coke with the, you know, with a Caesar salad, that's not that great. But when she actually walks in, she's trying to figure out what to buy. She's in a place where she's now open to messages. Like the server could have come up and said, hey, we have free Coke with a Caesar salad or something like that, right? We automated that situation. So now wherever she goes, she can have those services.
And you made it so it's kind of a surprise. Like she wasn't expecting it. So then the surprise factor adds some more emotional connection to it.
Absolutely. Surprised and delighted.
Right. Good stuff. So now, anything else you guys got going on in the lab?
There's always something.
Tomorrow's Friday.
That's right.
What are you bringing to the table tomorrow?
When should we show up?
Come on. The more the merrier. In fact, we are trying to figure out a way to open it up to people that aren't part of Red Pepper
civilians.
To be part of the lab. Yeah, absolutely.
If you're serving Sweetwater 420, we'll be there.
Absolutely. There's always something flowing. Absolutely.
Now, how do you like being at Tech Village?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, what a great place to be as far as being in the mix of new ideas, smart people, creative people.
Are you there as a service provider or you're a startup because you have so much startup stuff
going on?
Yeah,
I'm actually in Atlanta Technology Village as Face Deals, right, uh-huh. As the tech startup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though I'm still a part of Red Pepper, once that became an idea we wanted to make become real, it had to become a business. And so
right.
That's where we find ourselves, yeah.
So
that's a perfect spot for that.
And so how do your employees, like when they're a Red Pepper and this idea bubbles up, now they're no longer marketing people, you got them over here, now they're business people trying to grow this because they're just wearing two hats?
Well, if you think about the stages of a company, right, ideation, we're clearly good at that, right? Brand building, even product building to a certain extent. You know, there are components that we outsource, right, to an expert. Like we're not going to actually build a camera for FaceDeals. Someone has to do that. So when there are specific expertise that we need help with, we bring those in. But for the most part, we can handle a lot of the stuff, especially the marketing and, you know, clearly, you know, we can show we can get press for an idea. And you know, that's kind of our skill set. So it's not really outside of our strengths and passions to make these things happen.
Right. Like it makes logical sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
And that's what I always found. I have a degree in advertising, and I always found it interesting that when I was starting, like the ad agencies never had their own products.
It is.
And I was always like, if you're so good at this, like, why aren't you doing what you do for yourself?
And that's exactly where we are right now.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Coffee, cigars, and technology.
All the important things.
That's right.
A major food group. All right. Well, it was a pleasure talking. Well, one more thing. You're speaking somewhere at the CME or?
Yeah. At the
Consumer
CME Engagement Summit, right?
CEM.
Thank you. Yes.
Our buddy Eric Holtzclaw was in the studio not too long ago, and he was telling us about it.
That's right. I should know that, shouldn't I?
I knew. One of us should have.
September 26th, I'm actually speaking on the subject matter of the speed of technology as it associated with marketing, right? And keeping up and making sure you make the right decisions about what you're going to do and how you're going to engage people on it. And by some bizarre coincidence, my brother is speaking on the same exact topic, who's also my business partner, at the AMA social media SIG. Here in Atlanta. So we'll be speaking at the exact same time on the same subject in Atlanta.
So that way you don't have to write one speech, right? No one on that.
Well, hopefully I'll get a lot of support, yeah. He always gets people to write his speeches and gets all the beautiful stuff. I got to do all my own stuff.
So who does he run the Nashville? Or do you have somebody else that does Nashville?
Yeah, well, at the moment, right, because we have this technology startup, I'm kind of focused on that. Uh-huh. And he is, thank goodness, I have a partner I can kind of leave behind and run Red Pepper, right? So it works out really well, although we both cross over quite a bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if people want to learn more, website?
Absolutely. It's just like Disneyland. It's redpepperland.com. And if you want to find out about FaceDeals, just Google FaceDeals, and I promise you'll find plenty.
Well, thank you so much for being part of this.
My pleasure.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Atlanta Business Radio.